In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know if this bears repeating. This Mass is being offered for the intentions of these young men, Jaime and Horacio. It's good to see you. So today, as we seek to send you forth, I consulted a number of good men and asked them what it is that should be said to you men as you go to prepare to offer yourselves into this most important service. Consulted a lot of men who were both veterans themselves, those who have served in foreign wars. Spoke with men who had later become priests after their service, including the man who got me into the seminary myself, Father John Carney. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, airborne. He served in Vietnam and Korea, was receiving many commendations, bronze stars, and all sorts of other things, which he showed me a couple weeks ago. Doesn't like to brag on those things, but I thought that because he himself is of a certain age that he wanted to pass those things on to one he considers to be one of his good sons, who he brought into the priesthood as well. I spoke to a number of military chaplains throughout the world, and they told me that I should speak to you about particular things. And so the first thing that they wanted me to speak to you about is first to congratulate you. You have graduated from these short years in school and been formed within your own families through many trials and difficulties. So to congratulate you in making it through to this point, these 18 years of your life. And also to congratulate you in knowing what it is that the Lord is calling you to do in this particular time in your life when so many young men your age spend their lives doing what? Messing around on video games? Passing their time away, just working on a tan? Where each and every day you are preparing yourself for something else. You recognize purpose within your lives. Recognize that you were called to something in particular, and so day in and day out, you've already begun giving yourself to beat your body into submission, as St. Paul talks about, to make it into your slave, so that you are all the more prepared for the service to which you are about to engage in. In what, a month's time, you'll be in basic? But a couple days' time, really. Just 2 weeks from now, right? 1 week from now. You leave 1 week from now? Wow. It's already so soon. And in this time, our Lord is calling you to do something which is not like every other soldier which is out there, which is to eventually, by putting yourself through these difficulties of training and preparing and these rapid-fire weeks that are going to come at you hard and strong, and finally you'll emerge with a tattoo on your backside that says, Uncle Sam, that you belong to him. But Jaime, do you belong to Uncle Sam? No. It says no. Horacio, after these weeks, will you belong to the U.S. government? But in reality, no. Figuratively, you will belong to the U.S. government, but in reality, you belong to only one person. Actually, three persons who share one single nature. God himself. And don't allow whatever it is that they try to beat out of you in that individuality, which is a normal thing for you to be able to enter into. When they seek to remove those things from you, which you have gone before, and to remake you into a new elite fighting machine that is what you are engaged in becoming, realize that you are first and foremost, above all, you belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to He in Himself and to He in Him alone. And everything that you will do within this always has to go before whatever recs and regulations that they put you under, whatever the code of military justice that you have to learn more about, all these various things. Your honor code is not what the U.S. government will stamp into you, but rather it is what has been written upon your soul from the very beginning, that you serve God and Him alone. And before He alone will you be called into judgment. Before He alone will He ever be able to reward you for the service that you do, whether in this flesh or whether you do it in any other way. It is before He that you will stand and be judged. And so to recall that your final end is not at the end of a term of service, the end of your earthly life. Having passed on well, to hear those words which our Lord speaks about so often in His beautiful parables, saying in Matthew chapter 25, after extending one on one side and one on the other, the sheep and the goats, dividing them and calling them, you have done this, you have done these things, as unto the least of my dear brethren you have done unto me, for you have not. Your labor and your reward is to hear those same words, to say, hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. That's what you're preparing for. In a way in which so many of your peers are listlessly going through life, not putting themselves to good use, you begin immediately, began to go to the greatest and highest use. What did our Lord speak about in the gospel? Did you hear those words? You know why we chose this gospel? What is the reason why? Our Lord said, there is no greater love than this. What is the greatest love that our Lord speaks about? Yes, it is an unconditional love. And to do what particular act? To lay down one's life for one's friends. What is He calling you to? He's calling you to Horacio. To be what you profess. He's calling you to be a Christian. He's calling you to be a Christ in miniature. He's calling you to be formed into His very self, and that's the greatest form of love, to lay down your life for your friends. You would even say to lay down your life for your countrymen, to lay down your life for something which is greater than yourself, which is God himself, to be formed into His own image, and if the Lord deign, please, to make that ultimate gift of self. Now, I don't want you to lay down your life. As General Patton said, he said that the job of a soldier is not to lay down his life for his country. He said the job of a soldier is to make sure that somebody else lays down their life for their country. And for yourself to emerge victorious on the battlefield. Now these realities will become very real for you the closer and closer, the more and more time that the Lord grants you to enter into this earthly avocation. The chaplains wanted me to remind you to not forget your divine vocation, which is that to spend eternity with him. I won't put you on the spot right now, because you're thinking about other things, Jaime. But what was that first thing that I had you repeat, over and over and over, 3 times at least, when it came time for you to receive that seal, which was given upon you in confirmation, so that you would be a soldier for Christ? In an exam situation, I asked you 3 times to repeat one phrase. It was why God made you. And you remember why God made you. But I'm not going to quiz you right now. God made you for one purpose. To know him, to love him, and to serve him right now in this life. For what purpose, for what end, for what goal that you might achieve? That you might be happy with him forever in heaven. That is a reason why God has crafted your soul, to be able to live up to that high calling. And in truth, for all of us, it's the exact same thing. To know God, to know who he is, that he, as the author of Hebrews, St. Paul says, that he is God, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. To have that basic knowledge in him, and then to go beyond that, to know of his intense love and solicitude, that he's watchful over you, that he's brought you to this very point which you stand here today, where you sit here to profess, and even beyond this, to where you will stand here, there, as his representative, his ambassador, his soldier, the soldier for Christ, even more than a soldier in any other way that you might be. And to return that love for him by obeying his commandments. And out of that, to render service, service which you are about to enter into the military version thereof. So what should you be inspired by? Should be inspired by your patrons, by your patron saints. Each of you will receive images today of Saint Michael the Archangel, who is patron saint of all the U.S. military forces. He's the commander of the army of God, commander of the armies of God. He whose name means Mikael, which in Hebrew means a question. It's really a taunt to all the enemies of God, saying, who is like unto God? Do you recall the story of the one who thought he was like unto God, who thought he would ascend to the place of the Most High to make himself equal to God? Who is that? Lucifer, Satan himself. And so Saint Michael, as the commander of the armies of God, turns and has his name saying, who is like God? Taunting the one who thought he would make himself equal unto God. And Saint Michael says, who's like God? You could even say that he was saying, who's your daddy? Who's your father? Only God. Only God. And he's saying, I am not, but I am the one who works for him. I'm the one who leads his armies forth. I'm the one who's been entrusted to him. I am not like God. But I go forward in his name by his power and not my mind. The reason why Satan is so easily destroyed is because he himself thought he was greater than he is, and so God put him in his place. So remember that. That you march under the banner of the one who says, who is like God? And no matter how well-trained you are, or those who are put beneath you, no matter what level you rise to within your rank, the Lord calls you into OTC, an officer training school, and to rise up through the ranks in that way, beginning in the very places enlisted as you are, and to go to something greater beyond, to remember under whose banner you ultimately fight. The one who says, who's like God? There's no one like God. And so when I recognize that, then I realize that I'm fighting on the right side of the army, the right side of the armies of God. And place yourself under the banner of his protection. Each of you are entering into what branch of service, Horacio? The U.S. Navy. You're both entering into the same branch of service, the U.S. Navy. And so I want to tell you today about a particular Navy corpsman. Have you heard of Vincent Capodanno? No? Vincent Capodanno. Vincent Capodanno is one of the most inspiring members of the U.S. Navy who has ever been. I'll show you his picture. I'm going to give you one of these. By the way, I cut these by my own hand and made them earlier today for you, specifically for you. So if they're ill-made, you can blame me, because I'm not real good at this. But here he is, Vincent Capodanno. Vincent Capodanno was a man who is a Catholic priest, in fact, a chaplain, and he was assigned to the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps during the Vietnam War. Father Vincent Capodanno was born in 1929. Remember what happened in 1929? That's a year of Black Friday. And they were born in that time of in the Great Depression there in Staten Island, New York. He was Catholic just like each of you, with the same faith of your fathers, which just as you have. And he eventually joined the Mary Knoll Order, which is a group of priests that go throughout the world in order to be missionaries. Missionaries to make sure that all over the world the name of Christ is honored and loved. He was ordained a priest in 1958. Brother Vincent Capodanno was granted permission to enter into the U.S. Navy and was stationed there with the Marine Corps. He wasn't like the others who were there. He wasn't like those chaplains so often you will see who are just trying to get a paycheck because they couldn't hack it as a priest of a parish, because they couldn't find it in some sort of way to be able to be in a particular group, but found this as a way of gaining status and as well as gaining something to put some food on the table for his family. Father Vincent Capodanno was a man who was a priest who preached the good news in the most difficult places where the love of God was often not seen or recognized. What we were speaking about was the battlefields of the Vietnam War. But he was a soldier's chaplain. He was a soldier's chaplain, and there's a type of priest who went where he was most needed, meaning he loved to be among the men. He didn't like hanging out with the officers or far away from the battle. What he wanted to do was be exactly where he was needed most, as all these Catholic chaplains are wont to do, to be right in the midst of the action where it's needed, not looking what will advance them in rank in some sort of way, but rather what will advance the cause of Christ. Because we don't care about money. It's not important. We care about souls. And so Father Vincent Capodanno was there. He was offered by the Navy a nice bed, a place distant from the battlefield, a place where he could be there at headquarters. But he said, I want none of that. That's not why God called me to this battlefield. I'd go anywhere. I chose to be here. Put me with the men, is what he said. He said, my mission, sirs, is to be with the grunts. which is how he affectionately spoke about the men, the low soldiers who were there on the very front line. Father Vincent's congregation consisted of 20 to 40 men. 20 to 40 men who cycled in and out of those frontline areas there in the battle, and he would often be found hiding behind some rocks with the men in the thick of that jungle where the Viet Cong were around every other blade of grass. And he would offer their mass, and he would hear their confessions before sending them out on patrol. The U.S. government had a policy during the Vietnam War saying if you were wounded a certain number of times, if you received the Purple Heart three times, three Purple Hearts, then you would be able to go home within 24 hours. They'd ship you out of there. It was on Labor Day, 1967, when the battalion of Marines ran into some particular trouble. There were 500 Marines who were ambushed by 3,000 Viet Cong in the midst of a jungle they knew well from their youth. In the midst of that bloody battle, which there ensued, Father Vincent Capodanno found himself among those who he loved to serve. Father Vincent was first shot in the right hand which the priest uses to dispense blessing. And being shot in the right hand, bandaged himself up and went back into the fray again. A few hours later, a mortar shell exploded behind him, leaving his right arm totally in shreds, just hanging there, not able to do anything by himself. After he himself was patched up, and patched up is a very light word of saying, at least he probably wasn't like to die from that wound anytime soon. He eventually was moved to a place to be medevaced out of the conflict which was there, but he refused. He refused and moved slowly away, saying, no, this is where I'm needed. The men need me here, where they're under sustained heavy fire. And slowly, he moved from the wounded to the dead, and back to the wounded again. And back and forth, he would gunny crawl all the way across that battlefield to find wherever there was that there was a man who was in trouble to make sure that he would have some consolation in that moment and the last rites if his wounds were mortal. Back and forth, he traversed the battlefield those days. Using his left arm to support his right under, he would anoint the dying and give them absolution one by one. The medical corpsman knocked down with a burst of enemy fire. And so Father Capodanno rushed upon him, for he was the one who was patching up everyone else, risking his own life. He ran out between the injured men and the enemy weapons, using his own body as a shield for that man, that he might receive the sacraments first. And maybe they would choose not to shoot him, as he had that which insignified him as one who was not an enemy combatant, but rather one who cared for those who were there. And when he did so, his body was completely riddled with bullets. And this was the third major battlefield wound that he received that day, the third Purple Heart that he would have received just for that single conflict which is there. Father Vincent Capodanno, that day, not long after that, was able to go home, not within 24 hours, but within minutes. For it was at this time, on September 4th, 1967, that he himself was sent home to heaven, sent home to God, right there, serving in the midst of it. In January 1969, then just the wee rank of lieutenant, the lowest level of an officer, Vincent Capodanno, the Catholic priest, became the chaplain, a chaplain who won the nation's highest military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Note that during that time, he was the only ones who have ever received this as Catholic chaplains, the highest medal honor, have all been Catholic priests. I want to read to you from the citation of his. This is from what you can find there on his citation, why he should be the one receiving the Medal of Honor. It says, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his own life, above and beyond the call of duty, as a chaplain of the 3rd Battalion in connection with operations against enemy forces. In response to reports, the 2nd Platoon of the M Company was in danger of being overrun by a massed enemy assaulting force. So Lieutenant Capodanno left his relative safety of the company command post and ran through the open area raked with fire directly into the beleaguered platoon. Disregarding the intense enemy small arms, automatic weapons, and mortar fire, he moved about the battlefield administering last rites to the dying and giving medical aid unto the wounded. When an exploding mortar round inflicted painful multiple wounds to his arms and legs and severed a portion of his right hand, he steadfastly refused all medical aid. Instead, he directed the corpsmen to help the wounded comrades, and with calm and vigor, he continued to move about the battlefield as he provided encouragement by a voice and example to the valiant Marines. Upon encountering the wounded corpsman in the direct line of fire of an enemy machine gunner positioned approximately 15 yards away from him, Lieutenant Capodanno rushed, a daring attempt to aid and assisted mortally wounded corpsman. At that instant, only inches from his goal, he was struck down by a burst of machine gun fire by his heroic conduct. On the battlefield, and in his aspiring example, Lieutenant Capodanno... Lieutenant Capodanno held the finest traditions of the U.S. Naval Services, and so he gallantly gave up his life for the cause of freedom. There we find what it really means in the Scriptures, as our Lord says in John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this. The man laid down his life for his friends. So too, this is the inspiring story which should rail within your soul as you hear about all the other gallant missions on which the U.S. Navy hangs its hat. And when you find yourself there among these men with such a great tradition going on before you, you will be called to hold that up. But none higher can be held up than that which is the cause of freedom of soul for which you fight in Christ. The chaplains told me to tell you, Horacio, to tell you, John Euadius, to tell each of you that when you go forth from this place, to make sure that you find yourself as soon as possible, that at every moment possible, to make sure that you take a time aside for Holy Mass. For as the number of priests within the military is short, and they are few and far between to be found, to have that grace of receiving the Eucharist this one time, maybe the only time in the entire month that you're able to receive it, depending on what our Lord has you in the particular missions which will be entrusted to you. But to realize that even without the sacraments, the Lord is able to work individually upon your souls, to value them, and to make sure that you maintain that right relationship with Christ at every moment, that you may serve him well within the solace of your own heart. I mean, the Lord has called you to something here, and you will leave this place with God's blessing indeed. So I turn to your parents. Mr. La Palma, you can be proud of your son, for who he is already to this point, not to mention to who he will become. Louis and John, the whole family, you can be proud of your son, Jaime, for all that God has led him up to this point, but indeed to what he will bring him through in the years to come. For it is you, Vacas and La Palmas. It is you who these men, Jaime and Horacio, honor with their service in these times. But also, it is you who through your life of fidelity have allowed them to become the men that they are to this point. Without your care, without your faithful instruction and supporting them up to this point, they would not be able to make it. And so it is you that they honor with that service. The fourth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. And so too, by taking on this most high charge that the nation can have, they honor you in great degree. When we send them forth from this place, we will continue to be entrusting them to God and remembering them in those weekly prayers and daily prayers which we offer here within this altar until you again, Jaime and Horacio, are to return to us, healthy and well, strong in spirit, in soul, and with the help of God, in body as well. When we continue within our prayers here to let not just these words, but the words of sacred scripture ring true within your hearts, may they be a guide for you. As our Lord says in the Psalms, through the prophet St. David, he says, thy word have I hidden within my heart. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My word have I hidden in my heart, he says, that I might not sin against God. And so hide the words of sacred scripture, sacred writ, and of sacred tradition deep within your souls. Not only that you might not sin against God, but that they may be a guide and a light that leads you not only unto the freedom which the U.S. government seeks to bring both domestically and abroad, but also that freedom which is known only by those souls who find true freedom in Christ, conquering the things of the body and lifting the soul up to its creator. You men have done us proud by saying yes first. You'll do us even prouder by returning to us as heroes of the faith, soldiers for Christ, men formed after the very heart of God. You go with our blessing and prepare for the Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.